These words are enough for him who understands, and for him who loves it is a joy to repeat them often. For when you are present, all things are delightful. When you are absent, all things become loathsome. It is you who give a heart tranquility, great peace, and festive joy. It is you who make us think well of all things and praise you in all things. Without you, nothing can give pleasure for very long. For if it is to be pleasing and tasteful, your grace and the seasoning of your wisdom must be in it. What is there that can displease him whose happiness is in you? And on the contrary, what can satisfy him whose delight is not in you? The wise men of the world, the men who lust for the flesh, are wanting in your wisdom, because in the world is found the utmost vanity, and in the flesh is death. But they who follow you by disdaining worldly things and mortifying the flesh are known to be truly wise, for they are transported from vanity to truth, from flesh to spirit. By such as these God is relished, and whatever good is found in creatures, they turn to praise of the Creator. But great, yes, very great indeed, is the difference between delight in the Creator and in the creature, in eternity and in time, in light uncreated, and in the light that is reflected. O light eternal, surpassing all created brightness, flash forth the lightning from above and enlighten the inmost recesses of my heart. Cleanse, cheer, enlighten, and vivify my spirit with all its powers, that it may cleave to you in ecstasies of joy. O, when will that happy and wished-for hour come, that you may fill me with your presence and become all in all to me? So long as this is not given me, my joy will not be complete. The old man, alas, yet lives within me. He has not yet been entirely crucified. He is not yet entirely dead. He still lusts strongly against the Spirit, and he will not leave the kingdom of my soul in peace. But you, who can command the power of the sea and calm the tumult of its waves, arise and help me. Scatter the nations that delight in war. Crush them in your sight. Show forth, I beg, your wonderful works, and let your right hand be glorified, because for me there is no other hope or refuge except in you, O Lord, my God. The 35th chapter. There is no security from temptation in this life. The voice of Christ. My child, in this life you are never safe, and as long as you live, the weapons of the Spirit will ever be necessary to you. You dwell among enemies. You are subject to attack from the right and the left. If, therefore, you do not guard yourself from every quarter with the shield of patience, you will not remain long unscathed. Moreover, if you do not steadily set your heart on me, with a firm will to suffer everything for my sake, you will not be able to bear the heat of this battle or to win the crown of the blessed. You ought, therefore, to pass through all these things bravely and to uphold a strong hand to whatever stands in your way. For to him who triumphs, heavenly bread is given, while for him who is too lazy to fight, there remains much misery. If you look for rest in this life, how will you attain to everlasting rest? Dispose yourself, then, not for much rest, but for great patience. Seek true peace, not on earth, but in heaven, not in men or in other creatures, but in God alone. For love of God you should undergo all things cheerfully, all labors and sorrows, temptations and trials, anxieties, weaknesses, necessities, injuries, slanders, rebukes, humiliations, confusions, corrections, and contempt. For these are helps to virtue. These are the trials of Christ's recruit. These form the heavenly crown. For a little brief labor, I will give an everlasting crown, and for passing confusion, glory that is eternal. Do you think that you will always have spiritual consolations as you desire? My saints did not always have them. Instead, they had many afflictions, temptations of various kinds, and great desolation. yet they bore them all patiently. They placed their confidence in God rather than in themselves, knowing that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. And you, do you wish to have at once that which others have scarcely obtained after many tears and great labors? Wait for the Lord, act bravely, and have courage. Do not lose trust. Do not turn back, but devote your body and soul constantly to God's glory. I will reward you most plentifully. I will be with you in every tribulation. The 36th chapter, The Vain Judgments of Men, The Voice of Christ. My child, trust firmly in the Lord and do not fear the judgment of men when conscience tells you that you are upright and innocent. For it is good and blessed to suffer such things, and they will not weigh heavily on the humble heart that trusts in God rather than in itself. Many men say many things, and therefore little faith is to be put in them. Likewise, it is impossible to satisfy all men. Although Paul tried to please all in the Lord, and became all things to all men, yet he made little of their opinions. He labored abundantly for the edification and salvation of others, as much as lay in him, and as much as he could. But he could not escape being sometimes judged and despised by others. Therefore he committed all to God, who knows all things, and defended himself by his patience and humility against the tongues of those who spoke unjustly, or thought foolish things and lies, or made accusations against him. Sometimes indeed he did answer them, but only lest his silence scandalize the weak. Who are you, then, that you should be afraid of mortal man? Today he is here, tomorrow he is not seen. Fear God, and you will not be afraid of the terrors of men. What can anyone do to you by word or injury? He hurts himself rather than you, and no matter who he may be, he cannot escape the judgment of God. Keep God before your eyes, therefore, and do not quarrel with peevish words. If it seems then that you are worsted and that you suffer undeserved shame, do not repine over it and do not lessen your crown by impatience. Look instead to heaven, to me, who have power to deliver you from all disgrace and injury, and to render to everyone according to his works. The 37th chapter, Pure and Entire Resignation of Self to Obtain Freedom of Heart. The Voice of Christ. My child, renounce self, and you shall find me. Give up your own self-will, your possessions, and you shall always gain. For once you resign yourself irrevocably, greater grace will be given you. The Disciple. How often, Lord, shall I resign myself, and in what shall I forsake myself? The Voice of Christ. Always, at every hour, in small matters as well as great, I accept nothing. In all things I wish you to be stripped of self. How otherwise can you be mine or I yours unless you be despoiled of your own will, both inwardly and outwardly? The sooner you do this, the better it will be for you, and the more fully and sincerely you do it, the more you will please me, and the greater gain you will merit. Some there are who resign themselves, but with certain reservation. They do not trust fully in God, and therefore they try to provide for themselves. Others, again, at first offer all, but afterward are assailed by temptation and return to what they have renounced, thereby making no progress in virtue. These will not reach the true liberty of a pure heart, nor the grace of happy friendship with me, unless they first make a full resignation and a daily sacrifice of themselves. Without this, no fruitful union lasts, nor will last. I have said to you very often, and now I say again, forsake yourself, renounce yourself, and you shall enjoy great inward peace. Give all for all. Ask nothing, demand nothing in return. Trust purely and without hesitation in me, and you shall possess me. You will be free of heart, and darkness will not overwhelm you. Strive for this, pray for this, desire this, to be stripped of all selfishness and naked to follow the naked Jesus, to die to self and live forever for me. Then all vain imaginations, all wicked disturbances and superfluous cares will vanish. Then also immoderate fear will leave you, and inordinate love will die. The 38th chapter. The right ordering of external affairs. Recourse to God in dangers. The voice of Christ. My child, you must strive diligently to be inwardly free, to have mastery over yourself everywhere, in every external act and occupation, that all things be subject to you and not you to them, that you be the master and director of your actions, not a slave or a mere hired servant. You should be rather a free man and a true Hebrew, arising to the status and freedom of the children of God, who stand above present things to contemplate those which are eternal, who look upon passing affairs with the left eye and upon those of heaven with the right, whom temporal things do not so attract that they cling to them, but who rather put these things to such proper service as is ordained and instituted by God, the great workmaster, who leaves nothing unordered in his creation. If, likewise, in every happening, you are not content simply with outward appearances, if you do not regard with carnal eyes things which you see and hear, but whatever be the affair, enter with Moses into the tabernacle to ask advice of the Lord, you will sometimes hear the divine answer and return instructed in many things present and to come. For Moses always had recourse to the tabernacle for the solution of doubts and questions, and fled to prayer for support in dangers and the evil deeds of men. So you also should take refuge in the secret chamber of your heart, begging earnestly for divine aid. For this reason, as we read, Joshua and the children of Israel were deceived by the Gibeonites, because they did not first seek counsel of the Lord, but trusted too much in fair words, and hence were deceived by false piety. The 39th chapter. A man should not be unduly solicitous about his affairs. The voice of Christ. My child, always commit your cause to me. I will dispose of it rightly in good time. Await my ordering of it, and it will be to your advantage. The disciple. Lord, I willingly commit all things to you, for my anxiety can profit me little. But I would that I were not so concerned about the future, and instead offered myself without hesitation to your good pleasure. The voice of Christ. My child, it often happens that a man seeks ardently after something he desires, and then when he has attained it, he begins to think that it is not at all desirable. For affections do not remain fixed on the same thing, but rather flit from one to another. It is no very small matter, therefore, for a man to forsake himself, even in things that are very small. A man's true progress consists in denying himself, and the man who has denied himself is truly free and secure. The old enemy, however, setting himself against all good, never ceases to tempt them, but day and night plots dangerous snares to cast the unwary into the net of deceit. Watch ye and pray, says the Lord, that ye enter not into temptation. Footnote 37, Matthew 16:41. The 40th chapter. Man has no good in himself and can glory in nothing. The disciple. Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? What has man deserved that you should give him your grace? What cause have I, Lord, to complain if you desert me, or what objection can I have if you do not do what I ask? This I may think and say in all truth. Lord, I am nothing. Of myself I have nothing that is good. I am lacking in all things, and I am ever tending toward nothing. And unless I have your help and am inwardly strengthened by you, I become quite lukewarm and lax. But you, Lord, are always the same. You remain forever, always good, just, and holy, doing all things rightly, justly, and holily, disposing them wisely. I, however, who am more ready to go backward than forward, do not remain always in one state, for I change with the seasons. Yet my condition quickly improves, and when you reach forth your helping hand. For you alone, without human aid, can help me and strengthen me so greatly that my heart shall no more change but be converted and rest solely in you. Hence, if I knew well how to cast aside all earthly consolation, either to attain devotion or because of the necessity which, in the absence of human solace, compels me to seek you alone, then I could deservedly hope for your grace and rejoice in the gift of new consolation. Thanks be to you, from whom all things come, whenever it is well with me. In your sight I am vanity and nothingness, a weak, unstable man. In what, therefore, can I glory, and how can I wish to be highly regarded? Is it because I am nothing? This, too, is utterly vain. Indeed, the greatest vanity is the evil plague of empty self-glory, because it draws one away from true glory and robs one of heavenly grace. For when a man is pleased with himself, he displeases you. When he pants after human praise, he is deprived of true virtue. But it is true glory and holy exaltation to glory in you and not in self, to rejoice in your name rather than one's own virtue, and not to delight in any creature except for your sake. Let your name, not mine, be praised. Let your work, not mine, be magnified. Let your holy name be blessed, but let no human praise be given to me. You are my glory. You are the joy of my heart. In you I will glory and rejoice all the day. And for myself I will glory in nothing but my infirmities. Let the Jews seek the glory that comes from another. I will seek that which comes from God alone. All human glory, all temporal honor, all worldly position is truly vanity and foolishness compared to your everlasting glory. O my truth, my mercy, my God, O blessed Trinity, to you alone be praise and honor, power and glory throughout all the endless ages of ages. The 41st chapter, Contempt for All Earthly Honor. The Voice of Christ. My child, do not take it to heart if you see others honored and advanced, while you yourself are despised and humbled. Lift up your heart to me in heaven, and the contempt of men on earth will not grieve you. The Disciple. Lord, we are blinded and quickly misled by vanity. If I examine myself rightly, no injury has ever been done me by any creature. Hence I have nothing for which to make just complaint to you. But I have sinned often and gravely against you. Therefore, is every creature in arms against me? Confusion and contempt should injustice come upon me. But to you do praise, honor, and glory. And unless I prepare myself to be willingly despised and forsaken by every creature, to be considered absolutely nothing, I cannot have interior peace and strength. Nor can I be enlightened spiritually or completely united with you. The 42nd chapter. Peace is not to be placed in men. The Voice of Christ. My child, if you place your peace in any creature because of your own feeling or for the sake of his company, you will be unsettled and entangled. But if you have recourse to the ever-living and abiding truth, you will not grieve if a friend should die or forsake you. Your love for your friend should be grounded in me, and for my sake you should love whoever seems to be good and is very dear to you in this life. Without me, friendship has no strength and cannot endure. Love, which I do not bind, is neither true nor pure. You ought, therefore, to be so dead to such human affections as to wish, as far as lies within you, to be without the fellowship.